There are a lot of ways to live dangerously. One way is to stand up for what you believe in the face of opposition from your own community, from people you love. Our next interview features two people who are doing exactly that, trying to reconcile their faith with their own principles. One of them is a documentary filmmaker, and the other is a feminist activist. And what they do may not be physically dangerous, but it's risky in every other way. Here's Steve Paulson.
After spending most of his life in the closet, Kendall Wilcox came out in 2011. A few months later, his employer, Brigham Young University, which is operated by the LDS Church, fired him. Since then, he's made it his mission to shift the conversation around sexual orientation within the Mormon Church. Another person challenging gender roles in the LDS Church is Kate Kelly. She grew up in the church but became increasingly unhappy with the designated role of its women. So in 2013, she founded the Ordain Women Movement, and a year later, she was excommunicated. We are so happy that they could both join us tonight. Please help me welcome Kendall Wilcox and Kate Kelly. So Kendall, let me start with you. You would seem to be an unlikely person to challenge the LDS norms and culture, given your background. You actually produced films for the LDS Church. My understanding is a lot of those films actually supported what we would call traditional family values, and yet you're gay. Yeah. And that's a sin, isn't it?
Well, these days, being gay is not the sin. So acting on it, you know, sexual behavior, that's the sin. But yeah, I mean, I lived with the sort of that bifurcated life experience for at least around 20 years and working for the church and producing shows for example, just about the World Congress of Families. Produced a whole TV series with them about why those principles are important. And yeah, so unlikely, yeah.
So there came a point when it became untenable for you?
Yeah, there came about a decade when it was untenable. But then, yeah, it rose to a head where, I mean, I had gone in and out of different periods of deep suicidality. And so literally, I had a suicidal moment and sort of had a last-ditch prayer sort of conversation with God saying, if I'm missing something, let me know, because...
We should talk about that.
Yeah.
I mean, this is for... I understand this was a pivotal moment in your life.
Absolutely.
When
yeah.
you went looking for guidance in some way. Tell me what happened. Tell me the story.
I actually was very literally done. So I went to a mountain that I love, Boulder Mountain, southern Utah, and took preparations to end my life. And I had been wrestling for decades, trying different ways, all from within the closet. And couldn't find it, and so was there on the mountain and just thought, well, I guess I have some sort of moral obligation to have one last prayer. But thought, okay, I guess I should say something very begrudgingly. But I did. I said, if I'm missing something, let me know. And what I got was something about really focus on empathy. And I literally was like, what the heck? Thank you.
So you're saying this came out of nowhere. I mean, you hadn't even thought about this, and the way you described this, it almost sounds like a moment of revelation.
Exactly. And I actually was begrudging, and I had a choice. I had a choice in that moment of like, well, that makes no sense. I'm just going to finish my plan. But then I just thought, okay, well, I guess, you know, don't give up the gift quite yet. So I literally, as I walked down that mountain on the path, started to say, like, okay, what does this mean? What do I go? And that eventually turned into sort of the motivational force behind coming out, engaging with the community rather than doing everything in the closet. So it was life-changing, obviously.
Well, Kate, let me turn to you. You have taken what I would describe as a more active approach to challenging opinions within the LDS Church. On two separate occasions, you, along with other members of Ordained Women, tried to attend a semi-annual priesthood meeting that was only open to men. Tell me about the first of those occasions.
The first time that we tried to attend the priesthood meeting, we gathered in a park outside of Temple Square in Salt Lake City, Utah, and we walked down. It was a couple hundred women, So we went one by one. Every single woman went up and said, you know, I'm a Mormon woman. I want to be included. I am active. I tithe. And I think that I should be permitted to participate. And every single woman was turned away. It was a real embodiment of the daily, weekly, monthly, yearly lifetime of exclusion that we experience, but it was a very visceral, personal experience where we got to feel what it feels like to be turned away. So
there's a basic question for both of you. Obviously, you are very unhappy with certain key bits of, I don't know if it's church doctrine, if it's church policy. Why not simply leave the church?
Yeah.
Well, I had a graceful exit. Involuntary.
But you didn't want to go. I mean, you were kicked out.
Yes, I did not choose to leave. And that's a question that everyone asks. And I think there's a lot of reasons. First of all, it's not just about me. I could go on and live a happy life, and I do. But there are people who are still involved in the church, like my niece Ruby, who's 3 years old, who's going to grow up. And when she turns 12 years old, she's going to learn that she is less than. And I don't think that that's right. I think that should change. In Utah, we essentially have a theocracy, and so the Mormon Church dictates a lot of what the policy is.
Okay, Kendall, let me turn to you. Why have you stayed in the LDS Church?
I stay because of the, frankly, the spiritual rigor that it provides me, and that I couldn't walk away without really deeply investigating that, and the more that I have, the more invigorated I've become.
So you're so I understand this. You're saying that actually you spiritually you feel even closer to the Mormon Church now after all that you've gone through?
Yeah, like I'm definitely more Mormon than I was before. I have tapped into an aspect of who I am as a human being and as a spiritual being through this process of engagement with what it means to be Mormon, what the doctrine is culturally, the history of it, all the messed up things there. To really see who I am spiritually and realize that my spiritual orientation is just as much complex and nuanced and profoundly part of who I am and what I need to be alive as much as my sexual orientation.
So you have, you're very public about all of this, of course. You're working on a documentary film. I mean, you know, people in the LDS Church know what you're up to.
Yep.
Why have you not been excommunicated?
Good question. My approach has been always to focus on the culture and to acknowledge more explicitly and help tell stories and bring to people's attention the conflict that we're really talking about. Not the political thing that we see in the news, not the dogmatic stuff that we hear over the pulpit even, but at the heart of it, there is deep human conflict and there's tension that we feel from that. And my job is to get people to that place, I feel.
Well, let me see if I, my sense of maybe what differentiates your approaches is, Kate, you're into direct action. You know, you're going up there, you're kind of a bit in the face of what the church is doing here. You're saying, you know, I'm out there, you're going to have to turn me back. Kendall, it seems like you are not directly confronting church doctrine in the same way. In a sense, you're playing the long game here.
Exactly, because I can't change the doctrine. That's not my job.
Kate, why not take that approach?
I think what Kendall and I are doing in different ways is very similar. It's creating space for people like us who, you know, just cannot abide with fundamental discrimination and cannot abide with being inauthentic. And so I think whether it's coming out of the closet or whether it's speaking explicitly about feminism and gender justice, what we're doing in different ways is creating space for other people to come forward too. And I think we're doing that in different ways, but that fundamental goal is what we both have.
One final question for each of you. I think I know the answer, but has it been worth it? All that you've gone through? I mean, all that, you know, going up against authority and dealing with some pretty serious personal struggles in the process, Kendall?
Depends on the day. I mean, seriously, I can talk all these lofty ideas and I do believe them and I feel them deeply, but it's a day-by-day process for me because there are days where I am absolutely at my bottom and I don't see a way out. There's this line in the poem about, like, in a dark time, the eye begins to see. And I have a testimony of that, that it's that in that darkness, I begin to see the truths of reality, what I'm really talking about, and that gives me hope. And then I do gather one more story of one more person that says, this has changed in this way, and my life is better. And I say, okay, well, then let's keep going.
Kate, has it been worth it?
Yeah, since we're ending with testimonies, I have a testimony of women and the power of women to change and to stand up for ourselves. And so I would say absolutely 100%, it's been worth it. It's been difficult and hard and excruciating, but to be able to say, I mean, not many people have a moment in their lives where they can crystallize and look back and say, I had to sacrifice everything in order to stand up for my ideals. And so in the end, it will definitely have been worth it because the church forced me to decide who I was.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
That was Stu Paulson talking with Mormon feminist activist Kate Kelly and documentary filmmaker Kendall Wilcox. Kendall's forthcoming documentary about being gay and Mormon will be out next year. We're going to take a quick break, but coming up, more interviews from our Living Dangerously live show, recorded at the Rose Wagner Performing Arts Center in Salt Lake City. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge, from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International.